Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott back again for another episode of the Nolecast. Bud, we will kick off our kind of season preview or a series of season preview podcasts with the running back position. So no use in fooling around. Might as well go ahead and jump into the position group in which at least the singular talent that exists is as special as anything on the roster. So we've got a lot of new and exciting things that are in the future for this podcast. Our listenership has continued to grow. It's really at a place where we're very, very excited to announce a significant sponsorship that's going to really be a significant mark in time for us in this podcast, and it will go a long way in allowing us to bring you more continued and regular content and hopefully allow us to continue to increase production levels and continue to put out a product that we're all proud of. So I want to begin the podcast by thanking everybody for their listenerships, all the social shares and everything else that we asked for. It's been instrumental in us really being about 4 or 5 days away from announcing a sponsorship that is a real game changer. So thank you. Very much thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I'll hand it over to Bud Elliott, and we'll just get started on the running backs.
Anchor, man. Glad we're going to be able to announce that sponsorship here in the coming weeks. And you know, last year, I really feel like this time around for the running back preview, we could almost just take last year's preview that we did and just poured over about 20 minutes of that because we were the first ones to say, hey, Dalvin Cook's the best guy to ever run the football here at Florida State. And we said that, I think we said that before the season, right? Because it was that obvious or pretty early into the season. This year, well, ditto, yes, Dalvin Cook is, like we said, the best running back ever for Florida State. It doesn't mean he is the most accomplished yet. Obviously, people want to argue stuff like he doesn't have the most career rushing yards. He needs 1,300 to get there, roughly. I'm pretty sure he'll get that if he stays healthy. He already had the best rushing season in Florida State history last year with 1,691 yards. And it's just such a special back. I mean, arguably the best back in the country right there. And that's a very impressive statement because this is such a great year for running backs nationally with Fournette and McCaffrey and Hurd and Kamara and Freeman and Perine and Mixon and, if he's back healthy, Nick Chubb. There are so many great backs this year. And yet I think you can seriously argue that Cook is the best of them. Really, the only guy I would even consider taking over him might be Fournette. So how much do we really want to talk about Dalvin Cook in this running back preview? I almost feel like we don't need to do as much on him because people out there, even if you're the most casual of Noel fans, already appreciate the greatness that they're watching. I think after seeing last season, seeing how he carried this offense, a guy with truly special top end speed, but also even better acceleration. And there are a lot of backs who might be as fast as Dalvin Cook, but there aren't many who had that acceleration. And by acceleration, I mean, how quickly do you go from zero to top-end speed? It's the quickness that Cook has at north of 200 pounds that makes him such a special player. The ability to make a great cut in a confined area or to burst through an arm tackle and then hit that top gear immediately. That play in 2014 down there in Miami when he shakes off two tacklers and all of a sudden he's full speed to the end zone, that encapsulate that really well. He's so good, and he's a very selfless player. Jimbo Fisher tells the story of how he ran, he was running hard, and then all of a sudden, I guess Jock S. Patrick didn't know the play or something, and so Cook said, don't worry, you run the ball, I'll block for you on this because I know the assignment. And Fisher uses that example quite a bit, but talks about what kind of a quiet leader he is, if you believe in the idea of a quiet leader, leading by example on the field. And Cook is so good that it almost makes it hard to preview this position.
I certainly understand what you're saying what you mean when you say that. It is interesting to see kind of the evolution of Cook. To be honest with you, Bud, I went back and listened to last year's preview, the running back preview, just to get an idea as to what we talked about, where we graded him, and kind of the evolution in freshman to sophomore season. the most significant change in the overall spectrum of things is I will say that we saved the running back till one of our final preview podcasts because we did the same. We did the running back preview podcast on the day when he was officially cleared of all charges and reinstated to the team. So quite the different offseason as far as how much he's actively been able to be with the team in an official capacity. And a guy that is absolutely just a singular talent, and it's hard to really do him justice. I agree in a way it almost makes it hard to preview the position or at least his contributions for it. Everybody's had a lot to say about Dalvin Cook. Everybody's written a lot about him. There's a great YouTube video that heavily samples some of a podcast that we did in the first three or four games of the season last year, but it's 4.5 minutes of Dalvin Cook just making people look silly, and we'll tweet it out tomorrow or link it in the show notes if people haven't already seen that. But he's special for all the reasons that you said. One thing that I said about him last year, and I'll reiterate, he's so special, not in the fact that he makes people miss. It's in the way that he makes people miss, and it is, like you said, it's one cut. He puts his foot in the ground, and he's right back to top speed. It's not some slow, elaborate juke. He doesn't stop to try to shake somebody. He just puts his foot in the ground and goes. And he's as special of a talent as they've ever had carrying the ball here.
I mean, about the only thing you can say about him that is maybe not great are his hands. You know, just from being up in the press box at Doak Campbell and having the chance to get to know a couple NFL scouts who sit behind us. You know, the one thing, and we'll talk to me, what do you think about Dalvin Cook? They're all like, yeah, he's a stud. The only thing they say is, yeah, he really doesn't catch the ball that well. But you know what? That's a pretty small knock on an otherwise legendary player. So instead of having the debate, is he the best in the country? Because I really feel like that's just kind of, who do you root for? Who do you get to see more? I really think there's a couple guys in that truly special class. Let's talk bigger picture. Can Florida State have the best backfield in the country? And if so, how does that happen?
You know, really, a large part of that question will be answered by the play of a different position group that we'll preview here in the coming days, and that would be the offensive line. But to not let one preview bleed into another, you know, the first name that you look at is how involved does Jacques Patrick get this year? And how much of a jump do you see from freshman Patrick to sophomore Patrick? We just referenced what type of growth you saw in Cook, and he was not comparing the two entities, but still a significantly better prospect in his second year than his first. And in a lot of ways, in my opinion anyway, the question that you just asked will be in large part answered by if Patrick's really able to turn into the prospect that we thought he might be 16 months ago or so.
And let's be clear about where the improvement needs to come for Jacques Patrick. There are a couple areas, and for those who don't know, the sophomore Jacques Patrick, 6'2", 233, he's listed in the media guide, does look like he's reshaped his body a little bit and slimmed down some. Not a drastic change, doesn't look all you know, rocked up and cut up from what I saw this summer when he was out there at summer workouts and Jimbo Fisher camp. But needed to improve his core strength, needed to improve his balance, and most importantly of all, needed to improve his toughness. Jacques Patrick ran soft last year, and if he does that again, Florida State will not have the best backfield in the country. It might have the best back in Dalvin Cook, but it won't have the best total package because it does need somebody who can really be more of a battering ram. And while Cook runs with good power, he's not necessarily a battering ram type. He doesn't really run guys over. He runs through guys. You know, he's able to, because of the speed and acceleration and the danger that his jukes present, Cook oftentimes is able to attack a half man, if you will, and then power through that half man. But he's not really running a whole lot of guys over head on. Patrick is big enough to potentially do that, but he didn't do that last year. Not very much. He had a couple little flashes, but overall still had too much of that kind of small man skill set. And I was talking with some people, and they said, you know, Bud, we think this is because Patrick in high school was so good that he actually had the ability to outrun a lot of folks. So he never really had to develop that that real, real big back skill set. But once you get to the college level, especially at the upper levels of college, a guy as big as Patrick is not going to be able to outrun everybody. So he does have to start running people over. Now, we know Jimbo Fisher has run practices where he ran Patrick over and over and over again to try and toughen him up. And you know, he wants to go get a blow. No, get back in there. You're not done. We need you in the fourth quarter. Are you gonna come out of the game like Jermaine Thomas did at Georgia Tech and cost FSU the game, or are you gonna stay in there? You're gonna be tough. You're gonna run somebody over. You're gonna move that pile and convert that short yardage down the goal line. That's one of the main keys I have. Look, we know Patrick has the potential to be a really good pass blocker. He's got the length. He's got the size. He can stand up and really stand up a blitzing linebacker. And he's actually a really good receiver. But Florida State needs something different than Dalvin Cook. And as much as I like Ryan Green, I know we'll speak about him in a moment, he can't give them the different. He's sort of a lesser talented version of Dalvin Cook. Patrick is distinctly different. And you hope this is the year that the toughness shines through, that he becomes more confident in his game, in the skills that he actually has, as opposed to the ones that you know, a lot of big backs think they have, but they really don't.
But let's stay with the big backs, and this is not necessarily a predicted place on the depth chart, but before we come back to Ryan Green, go ahead and discuss Jonathan Vickers real quickly, another big back, another larger running back, and how much of a role he could possibly play this year.
You know, Vickers on the depth chart is listed at 6'1", 227, so that's only 6 pounds smaller than Jacquez Patrick. But when you look at him, Patrick does look physically bigger than Jonathan Vickers, and I've never thought of Vickers as a guy who's going to run somebody over. I always saw Vickers as more of a hybrid role, kind of half fullback, half running back, kind of in that Lonnie Pryor role. We know he can catch the football, provide some versatility, but I don't know if he's really going to be the guy who can play that spot for you. We'll see, I guess. I know Florida State lists him as a running back. To me, he's always been kind of more that Lonnie Pryor hybrid role.
Fair enough. Ryan Green, kid out of Tampa, kid who's bounced back and forth from position groups, and a kid who, by all accounts, had a pretty solid spring and maybe gave himself more of a real legitimate opportunity to play than a lot of people thought he would have been coming into the season.
You want to talk about a guy who actually got tougher, or at least looks like he's running tougher than how he ran in high school?
Mm-hmm.
That's Ryan Green. And maybe it's because he's going to be, 22 years old now? He's a redshirt junior. It seems like he's been at Florida State since 2010. Really, really good kid, a team leader, somebody people look up to. He's a speed back, but he is over 205 pounds. Last year, Florida State moved him to corner because they were worried about their depth there. And he ends up getting hurt, I believe shoulder surgery, before the first game of the year, ends up missing the entire year, moves back to running back due to some depth concerns and some obvious ability to gain playing time. He looked great in the spring game, man. Showed explosions, showed burst, showed some patience. And importantly, I thought he stuck his head in there a lot more than I had ever seen him do prior. Now, if Ryan Green is your number two running back, I think that's a fine thing. Can Florida State be the best backfield in the country if Green is its number two running back? Probably not. It could still be an elite-level backfield, certainly. But Green, I don't know if he's a great receiver of the ball, but if he is, that's a really nice backup to have. I just go back to my point. Patrick, because of his size, can give you something that Green and everybody else on this roster really can't, and that's the ability to be that battering ram, to be that big-time change of pace back there. And because Cook is so fast, the change of pace for Florida State, as opposed to a lot of teams would put in a real fast guy after their workhorse back is done. Florida State's workhorse back is so fast that their change of pace actually, in theory, would be more of a battering ram type back. I like Ryan Green a whole lot. Between him and Cook, they've both battled injuries throughout their career. Hopefully they can complement each other, maybe take a couple carries off Cook's legs, make sure he's fresh throughout the entire season. Obviously, Dalvin Cook wants to win the Heisman. I'm sure Jimbo Fisher wants him to win the Heisman, but at the same time, this team has bigger goals than just individual awards. And if both those things can happen, that's great. But I don't know if giving Dalvin Cook another 230-plus carries is the best thing for him, for the team, or for his long-term future.
Yeah, Bud, the past 60 seconds or so, you've very much taken this conversation and where I was going to go with it. You're right. All the records that you referenced at the beginning, 16-91, by the way, he broke that, what, 8 or 9 games into the year, as far as he broke the single-season rushing record in program history. Did have 229 carries last year. What type of number are you looking at, or how much does Dalvin Cook's history of battling injuries come into play with how frequently the three other people that we've just talked about maybe get a little bit more of an opportunity than they would otherwise?
Well, I think if you're Jimbo Fisher, it has to be in the back of your mind and quite a bit. Now, Florida State is playing 5 preseason ranked teams, plus another 2 or 3 who we think are somewhere between fringe ranked or at least probably going to a bowl. There are not going to be that many opportunities this season, most likely, to rest Dalvin Cook. So when you get him, you really need to take him. And I actually think, you know, at certain times, it may make sense to give Dalvin a blow when you're up decently comfortably, but not necessarily in blowout fashion. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you're up 17 in a third and you rotate him out. I know we love having Dalvin Cook as a workhorse, but at the same time, it is important to preserve him for the long haul of the season and also for his long-term career. I feel like that's kind of owed to him because of the unfair rules that prevent a player like Dalvin Cook, who would be starting for quite a few NFL teams this year if he could be in the NFL as opposed to college. I do feel like you kind of owe it to him as a player with his career, given how short NFL careers actually are. Maybe another 200 carries, maybe 190. 231, though, is that's a big-time number. And if Florida State's going to go where it wants to go, by the way, it's not going to play 13 games. It's going to play 15 games. So you have to keep that in mind as well.
Absolutely. You, once again, kind of went where I was going to go. I think you absolutely – you can't look out there and see Dalvin Cook dragging himself off the field 2 to 3 times a game, particularly in his money year. You don't want to run that kid into the ground to where he doesn't have a future. And I really do think you owe it to him to try to have an idea as to what his limits are and what he can take. And obviously no one has an exact idea as to what that is. But he's a special talent. We've done nothing but praise him throughout his career and certainly on this podcast. And he's been something special to watch. And at the same time, you really want a kid like that to have the chance to have the best future possible. And the best future possible for him is to be able to be evaluated as a third-year player who doesn't have two really significant injury-riddled seasons. Best thing for Dalvin's pro draft prospects would be able to have a clean bill of health this year, and he will go as high as he possibly could go with a frame like that and the position that he plays in the running back as far as where they grade and where they draft out. So kind of puts a bow on our thoughts on Cook in particular and the way that they may try to handle his at least how much they really ask of him and how many carries they slap on him a game.
And you know he'll be running the ball behind Abram. Freddie Stevenson, who is now a senior, didn't get many carries last year. I think 3 carries for 9 yards, but is a player who I don't think he's a great fullback, but I think he has steadily improved from 2014 to 2015, and I expect he'll improve yet again. Remember, he came in as a linebacker out of Bartow, Florida, and you know, he's going to leave Florida State as a 3-year starter at the fullback position.
He'll always have the Louisville play, Bud.
Yes, yeah. You know, he's shown some capable hands at times. You know, maybe not a huge threat in the passing game, but I think having a senior fullback who is now over 240 pounds, they list him at 6'1", 241, so that's another year in the offseason program, another year stronger, another year wiser. I think inexperience at the fullback position can certainly hurt a rushing offense, and Florida State has the exact opposite of that. They have a lot of experience there, and fullback is a position where, yeah, you're a battering ram, no doubt, as a blocker, but you're also a guy that has to throw cut blocks. You're a guy that has to pick up blitzers. That there's a lot of sort of comfort thing. I don't want to say comfort because fullback's a very tough job. There's a certain comfort level that you develop as you play more at any position. But I do feel like fullback is a very reactionary position because you have an assignment, but a lot of it is reacting to what the opponent does as well.
Right.
And not overextending yourself, not overrunning a defender and taking a bad angle on him and having cut back underneath you. Having that sort of body control and sense of flow of a defense is really important as a fullback. And I think Stevenson got better at that last year than he was in 2014. Hopefully he can take another step before a guy that I think a lot of people are very excited about and Gabe Neighbors takes over for him in 2016. In 2017. Neighbors, by the way, and we're not going to waste too much time on a quick preview podcast talking about the back of fullback, but 6'3", 244, that's probably the most physically imposing fullback Florida State's brought in at least a decade.
How was that kid as much of an unknown prospect as he was? But now, obviously, fullbacks in and of themselves kind of fly under the radar, but that seemed to be that they were able to get in awfully late on him, or at least officially get in. I'm sure they had a continued relationship, but I am kind of surprised that that kid, and everything I've heard has been exceptionally positive about him as well, which I guess is kind of the genesis for the conversation and made me think about it in general, how they were able to just didn't seem to have a whole lot of competition and were able to play that kind of slow play him.
You know, Ingram, that's a really good question. And as best I can tell, most of his recruiting profiles, he's listed at either 6'2", 219 or 6'3", 225. So that's, about 20 pounds lighter than what he actually is. And he certainly was a hell of a lot bigger as a senior than he was as a junior. So you have the common thing of a kid who packed on late muscle. He also really wasn't used as a rusher much. His Florida State profile says that he caught 17 passes for 173 yards and 6 touchdowns as a senior. And he had 26 tackles on defense and 4.5 tackles for loss. You know, that's just not much production. Oftentimes your fullbacks are players who played other positions because most high school teams do not use a fullback anymore. Now, Florida State does, and I think there's some actual benefits to using a fullback in some ways, or running two tight ends with an H-back, which Neighbors is also potentially able to play, in that a lot of teams don't see two-back attacks anymore. I know we were going through it on our Tomahawk Nation editorial chat, and I think about 83% of the time, Florida State's going to see a team operating out of the spread. So what's the offense that's actually odd when teams see it now? It's the pro-style offense. With so many teams running spread, pro-style is kind of unique. But let's think about the great fullback or the good fullbacks Florida State has had. Lonnie Pryor was a running back in high school. You know, they ended up teaching him to block pretty well. You had Chad Abram, who was a safety in high school and kind of a safety linebacker hybrid, a workout warrior. And he ended up becoming a really good fullback for Florida State. In fact, he was the fullback on the national championship team.
And Big then Pat Freddie Chad, always be remembered.
Yes. Absolutely. They've had so many fullbacks who can actually catch the ball pretty well. You know, it's weird. Like Big Pat Chad caught the ball. And then also Freddie Stevenson was a linebacker when he came in. And they moved him after the fact. So that to me is sort of fullback is an odd position to recruit. I know that this kid physically looks awesome. I don't know how good of a player he'll be, but it's certainly an encouraging thing to think that next year they're going to have another potentially very talented player blocking for their running backs. And with that, I mean, I think we're pretty close to done on this. A quick note for listeners at home, we are trying to keep all these preseason podcasts shorter this year. One item of feedback we heard from y'all was that new listeners had trouble binge listening to all the preseason preview episodes before the first game started. So last year we had, I think, almost 10 hours of audio of preseason coverage. We are not going to do that this year. We're going to cut these all down. Try and keep them all under half an hour, some well under half an hour, so that if you do want to listen to them you know, on a decent car ride, 4 or 5 hours, that you'll be able to do that. Or maybe over the course of a day or two at work, we understand that feedback. And yeah, I don't think any of us have time to listen to 10 hours of podcasts on the Knowles. Or I know some of y'all do, because certainly some of y'all listen to it. But I know a lot of our folks, they don't.
Fair enough, bud. We always try to make it as consumable a product as possible. And again, want to just thank everybody for the support and the listenership over 6 or 7 years now. It's been pretty incredible. And we are very, very excited to bring this to you again this season. And very excited to start this season preview series with what hopefully was an enjoyable listen as we looked at the running backs.